So how much should you tell your kids about COVID-19? How do you address the question of why your son or daughter can't go visit grandma these days? And how do you deal with an older child who doesn't want to go along with all the safe distancing recommendations that are flying around these days? When it comes to questions about how to talk to your kids about the coronavirus, we turn to Dr. Wes Crenshaw. Wes is a licensed psychologist in Kansas, an author and media commentator. Wes, it's always nice to have you. Good morning.
Good to be here, Steve.
You know, parents, it strikes me, are under a lot of pressure these days as their kids ask questions about this new world that we're living in. You know, come to think of it, maybe kids are under a lot of pressure too, Wes, with all this change. But let's begin with young kids and help parents answer some questions that kids probably are asking these days. One of them is, why can't I play with my friends?
Well, in any of the sort of social distancing questions that kids are going to have, with the exception of maybe tinies like the preschool kids,
right,
the best thing to do is to talk to them calmly, but like they're intelligent creatures. I've always been impressed. You know, that's not the age group I work with as much, but a lot of my staff do here, and we staff cases all the time and discuss them. And I'm always impressed with younger kids' ability to handle a discussion with an adult when the adult is sincere and honest and treats them with respect. And I would start at that point. Don't tell kids, even little ones, don't worry, it's going to be okay. They know that's not true. They know that. Be honest and say, you know, this is a scary time and it's okay to feel afraid. Your feelings are fair and honest. And then what we're doing, always lay out, here's what we're doing to save ourselves the problems of being ill. And that is all the stuff we've been hearing about, hand washing and distancing and all that. And that's why you can't visit Johnny or your grandma or your friends, or you visit them at a distance until this is over.
You know, I think that's exactly the opposite kind of advice that a lot of parents might walk into a conversation. Their natural tendency would be to say, hey, I got to sort of couch my language and maybe dumb this down and maybe spin this in a positive way. And you're saying, level with them.
I'll tell you what, kids, and I go down to about fifth to sixth grade in my age group I work with, and I've learned more from those people over the years, as you know, than any graduate school education I ever had. They can have an intelligent conversation with you. They know when you're not being straight with them. Huh. They know it right down the line. And so just say, we're having a hard time in the world right now. I can't go to work because we mix at the office and we might get it and bring it home. So I have to be home right now or telecommute. Just explain things like that. And in that calm voice, the opposite of that is parents just panicking right now. And we see a little of this where they're scaring their kids with the way they're doing social distancing. And you don't want to do that.
I'm wondering to what extent this virus and nervousness around the virus is occupying your conversations with the young people who come to see you each week, Wes.
About 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
It varies. What's interesting is that my anxious people are not having a very hard time right now. And it took me a while to catch on to that, why that is. And it's the same reason my very uncoordinated daughter can ride the L and the bus standing up in Chicago with no problem. Hmm. She's used to the world wobbling around. And so she's adapted to that. The anxious people are very much in their zone here. They know how to handle these situations. Folks who aren't used to feeling anxious are really having a hard time because they are now experiencing something that's uncommon for them and they don't quite know how to respond.
Now, that's interesting to me. Again, I'm not sure I would have come to that conclusion on my own.
Me neither.
I feel better.
I was really surprised to see it.
How about this question, Wes? When can we go see our grandparents?
When? Oh, the question. I thought you wanted me to give you permission, Steve. it's sort of
sad
the same
to
thing.
Say I lost mine a long time ago. Yeah,
exactly. You know, say to kids, this disease, this virus is most dangerous to older folks. I've said to my kids, you know, y'all are at very low risk. I am not, as a person who is diabetic with high blood pressure. So when you remember to wash your hands, you don't need to think about it for you. Think about it for me. And it is also important for their own hygiene. But if you can get kids interested in other people and their needs, kids will often do a duty to others more than they will think about it themselves. Again, you want to raise their anxiety to just the right level, not too much, not too little. So you say, we don't want to infect our elders because they may do much more poorly with the virus. And kids, you know, they may not understand it at the molecular level, mm-hmm. but they can understand the concept.
Yeah. What if they ask, Wes, why can't I do any of the things I could do before this stupid virus came around?
Yeah. So I have a little bit divergent view on this. And where I think we've gone wrong with kids and young adults, too, is kind of scream at them, stay away from everyone. I have two sets of parents, I mean, in groupings. One set who's saying that we're going to stay in the house and send one person to the store and all that. And the other group are saying, let's take our pickup trucks or cars and park them in a parking lot in a circle. And we'll sit in the trunk or in the back of the SUV and tailgate together and keep, you know, 20 feet between us and sing and play games
and stuff.
I'm in that group. I think we are in this for a long time. The data I have indicates that this will peak in Kansas around the 1st of May. Mm-hmm. And that means we've got weeks and weeks after that, well into the summer. It's one thing to ask kids to do this for 10 or 14 days, which is what parents keep telling kids, which is just not true. It's another to do this into the summer, and we need to find ways to be together apart. And I think kids can do that. They're going to need oversight and supervision, but we're going to have to make up some nice games to play. I think you get that pool noodle, you know, that we swim with and play tag with it. It's just about the right length. And how fun will it be to whack people with that thing at a 6-foot distance? The joy. But we're going to have to find some ways to do that very safely because, you know, activity is important, but we can't do most of the kinds of activities we've done for a long time.
If you're just joining us, so you're listening to up-to-date special coverage, Coronavirus in Kansas City. We're talking to Dr. Wes Crenshaw about how to talk to your kids about all things coronavirus. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at @KCURUpToDate. How about this one, Wes? Should parents make younger kids feel like they're contributing to an effort by washing their hands and safe distancing and the like? Does that make sense as an approach?
Yes, please do. You know, kids vary dramatically one to another, but younger ones generally like to please adults. They like to feel like they're doing something that is helpful. That may or may not translate into loving to do chores or something. But if it's something they feel like they're doing to help mom or dad or grandma, they will be more on board with it. Now, I got to remind everybody, no matter how old your kids are, please do not presume that they are going to remember these things the way adults do. That's just not developmentally a thing. The more anxious kids will remember stuff. In fact, sometimes they can't get it out of their head. But most people are going to lean in the other direction. And so parents will have to constantly be reminding them, remember our hand washing, remember our distancing, remember what we're doing for COVID here. Little clues like that, constant reminder. Don't get frustrated with kids because this isn't their number one obsession right now. Be reminders.
Man, I tell you, I'm really feeling for parents these days. I mean, yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've thought to myself, boy, I'm grateful my kids are older because trying to keep young kids occupied and staying at home during a very difficult time like this, that just strikes me as really tough stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's very rough. And, what you know, we're open for business and we're doing a lot of it. And a lot of it is on video. And we're having to rethink the entire mechanism of delivering services for little kids because of exactly what you're saying is they like to watch a YouTube, but they don't think about talking to their therapist that way. So we're little or younger kids are really challenged in a lot of ways by this whole experience.
I'm wondering what advice you might offer parents about how to keep their heads screwed on straight as they spend day after day after day inside a house, sometimes alone. Maybe the spouse is off working. They're in the house alone trying to take care of kids, and they maybe have work to do themselves.
It is excruciating. We could do another 2.5 hours on that topic alone.
Mm-hmm.
The short version is, and this has been hard for some parents to accept, they are not trained, quote unquote, most parents to do this. They have not been stay-at-home parents. There are many parents in the greater Kansas City metro that when the summer comes, obviously depends on your income level, but when the summer comes, they either have their kids in Boys and Girls Club, or they have their kids with nannies, or they have their kids at camp all summer. Nothing wrong with that. My son loves to go to camp in the summer. But they don't have an experience of one-to-one relation to their kids, especially teaching, oversight in schools, all of that kind of stuff. So these are foreigners in their home all of a sudden. Where'd these people come from? And they're having to actually develop a culture to deal with that. Some are more agile about that than others, but in general, that's creating all the other problems. And parents don't even quite know what to expect from kids. We did a survey, I write for Attitude Magazine for the ADD folks, and we did a survey the other day and it got 500 responses in about a 12-hour period of people struggling with the issues you're describing. And so many of them I read were issues that are really problems the kids had long before COVID, but the parent was just now getting a firsthand experience of it.
That's really interesting. Some parents might wonder how much they should tell their kids about COVID-19 when it comes to the actual disease itself and sort of how it works and how it spreads.
Yeah, this is super developmental related. Like the older they are, many times in the show we've talked about sex and sexuality. It's really a good parallel for this. For younger kids, they just need to know kind of whatever is helpful to them. This is a virus. How does it get into my body? What can it do? Why is it the way it is? Whatever they'll tell you when they're bored with the discussion. For older kids, believe you me, my kids are media consumers between podcasts and news. I can't believe sometimes when I tell my kids, one of them's 16 and one of them's 23, when I tell my kids, oh, I saw this on the news the other day, and then my 16-year-old son says, well, actually, this is the story. So
you're dead. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're very knowledgeable about things. Your job is to help them process that information, also to help kids be good consumers of information and use trusted sources. And I'm talking about kids fourth, fifth grade and up. This is a great opportunity to talk with them about science, the scientific method, and how to evaluate journalism. And I know you teach that, so you know what I'm talking about.
There's a whole separate hour there in and of itself too, Wes.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up-to-Date Special Coverage Coronavirus in Kansas City. Dr. Wes Crenshaw is with us. We're talking about how you can talk to your kids about a pandemic that won't go away. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here, or tweet us at KCUR Up-to-Date. Here's one I've been actually seeing a little bit about on social media. What about older kids, Wes, who might be more rebellious about the restrictions they're facing? They're seeing their friends, in some cases, with more lenient parents. They're getting together. They're hanging out. And maybe mom and dad are saying, no, you cannot go out. You can't join your buddies. Again, that's a tough situation for a mom or dad.
Yeah. And tell you, over the years, I can guarantee you that if kids are not on board, and I've had this discussion with kids a lot in the last couple of weeks, if they're not on board with all of this, then they're going to push back. And the kid's power to push back usually exceeds a parent's power to control them. And parents, even parents who've had just really great, what we call authoritative parenting skills in the past, are suddenly now super control freaks. And nowhere is this weirder than in the young adult population. I've never seen parents overparent young adults like they are right now. It's astonishing. And kids are really fighting back on that. Now, is this serious? Yes, it is. But this idea of teaching kids how to be together apart is going to win a longer term solution than the idea that we all need to sort of cower in our house and maybe we'll sit on the porch and wave. I think the parents who are doing, you use the word lenient. I might use the term a little more less restrictive is probably the term I would use. Model are probably going to win in the end because their kids are going to feel like they're partners in this process.
That's interesting.
And if your kids don't feel like they're partners in the process, longer term, you're in trouble. And we've just got to quit thinking this is going to be over in 10 days. Repeatedly, I've said to parents when they're doing this high control thing, I said, what are you shooting for here? Like, how long do you think this is going to be that kids can do this? Well, it's only for another week or week and a half. No.
Right, right.
It's not. Right. Sustainability is the word I would use.
We got this question via Twitter. Is this a good time for parents to rediscover play, Wes? Is it tough for parents to revert to being kids themselves for a while with their kids?
Super good question. And the answer is that is hard. There are certain parents who are really naturally kind of playful, carefree folk. They are in the minority. And when you're sitting around being super stressed, you're not thinking how fun it is to build a Lego castle. But there's a whole TV show about that, by the way, the Lego Masters, if you want to watch how to do it.
I've seen that, yeah.
It's great. But yes, I think the Twitter tweet person is very much on track there. We do need to do play. And as much as we can get outdoors and do some of it, I've been thrilled in Lawrence, my wife and I go walking, to see more people out walking with families than I think I've ever seen before. That's a good activity. Just doing things with kids, play, great. I've been getting families. My son's a big Dungeons and Dragons fan, and I think that's a great activity to do indoors that's creative and imaginative and doesn't require an Xbox.
But what about the idea that maybe it's a good time to expect kids to take on a little bit more work around the house, especially if one parent's work is regarded as essential and he or she's got to be on the computer or doing whatever they have to do?
Well, if I wanted to be flippant, I'd say ha-ha or LOL or whatever. The more serious answer is, You said in your opening that kids are probably also really stressed right now, and that is the truth. And a lot of parents are trying to bring structure to kids' lives, which is a good idea. But too much of that is parents really wanting the kids to clean the house. And, you know, this is a great time for us to get all the cleaning done. That, you know, probably this is not a good time to do that. So now what I would do is have the kids be in charge of themselves, do their own wash, take their trash out, maybe a chore or two that you specifically give. But I've got people giving kids chore lists that are as long as your arm. And this is just not the time to keep the idle hands occupied.
That's Dr. Wes Crenshaw. He's a licensed psychologist in Kansas, joins us regularly to talk about kids and all kinds of questions regarding kids and how to deal with them. Wes, always great to have some time with you. Thanks for making some room for us today.
Fantastic to talk to you, Steve.
You bet.